Listening Library presents Welcome to Wonderland, Book 3, Sandabalooza Shakeup by Chris Grabenstein. Read for you by Brian Kennedy. For Fred, my best four-legged riding partner. Chapter 1. Coming Attractions. To tell you the truth, I don't know how I survived the 14-story plunge, I told my audience. They were all sipping frosty fruit drinks and nibbling conch fritters at our motel's brand new poolside restaurant, the Banana Shack. I slid over the first waterfall and rocketed into a 90-degree, zero-gravity freefall. It was a steeper drop than the summit plummet at Disney's Blizzard Beach. Woohoo! Cried my grandpa, Walt Wilkie, when I mentioned outdoing his arch rival, the Walt over in Orlando. I slid around an awesome loop-de-loop that shot me like a cannonball across the sky and into a log flume. Next came a series of wicked switchbacks, plus an aqua tunnel that hurled me straight through a tank swarming with live sharks. That part was my idea, added my business-savvy best friend, Gloria Ortega, because Shark Tank is her favorite TV show. Finally, I said, putting the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae of my story, I splashed down in a surf pool where I caught a wave and went boarding with an audio animatronic surf monkey Aquabot.
That is so cool,
said one of the kids at a nearby table. He and his family were among the lucky guests who'd been able to book rooms at my family's St. Pete Beach Motel after it became super famous in the movie Beach Party Surf Monkey, the Hollywood blockbuster starring Academy Award-winning actress Cassie McGinty, YouTube sensation Kevin the Monkey, and local hero Pinky Nelligan, who's one of my best buds. The no neon in our no vacancy sign had been lit for so long, we were afraid it might burn out.
Where exactly is this water slide?
Asked the boy's mom. Right now, only in my computer.
He used a Roller Coaster Tycoon expansion kit, explained Gloria.
But, I said, gazing at the towering concrete hotel on the other side of our short stucco wall, someday we might buy the place next door and actually build it.
What? Said Grandpa. All of a sudden you want to buy the Conch Reef Resort?
Hey, I said with a shrug, it's the perfect height. 14 stories tall.
Oh, dude, said our new chef Jimbo. Are they like selling man?
Jimbo is what they call a parrot head. That means he loves the laid-back, island breezy music of Jimmy Buffett. Jimbo is extremely mellow and always wears a baggy Hawaiian shirt and sunglasses and has a ponytail sticking out the back of his baseball cap. He doesn't shave too often either. Mr. Conch should sell his resort to somebody, I told Jimbo, because ever since our movie came out, nobody wants to stay over there except the people who wanted to stay over here and couldn't. My audience laughed. Grandpa and I grinned. Fact, Conch Enterprises, the company that tried to sabotage our motel's movie, wasn't doing so well anymore. Double fact, Grandpa and I couldn't have been happier if all the donuts in the world were wrapped in bacon and dripping with cheese. Chapter 2. The Sweet Sweet.
It doesn't get any better than this, said Gloria's dad, Mr. Ortega, who was hanging out in the lobby with my mom, waiting for our VIP guests to arrive.
You're in the big leagues now, Wanda, he told Mom. You just have to remember what got you to the dance and focus on fundamentals.
Gloria's father, Manny Ortega, is a sportscaster on Channel 10, WTSP, the local CBS station for Tampa, St. Petersburg, and Sarasota. He's changed stations a lot in his career,
That means he and Gloria have moved around a lot, too. Since WTSP probably won't be Mr. Ortega's final destination, they're extended stay guests at the Wonderland. They rent a couple of rooms so they don't have to buy a house that they just have to sell when Mr. Ortega gets the call from ESPN for his dream job. Mom likes having Mr. Ortega at the motel. Me too. He's extremely cool. Mom and Mr. Ortega aren't exactly dating, but they do make goo-goo eyes at each other all the time. What does my dad think about Mom flirting with Mr. Ortega? Who knows? My father, as you may have already noticed, isn't really in the picture. He hasn't been for 12 years. He left town before I was even born. Mom doesn't talk about him all that much. The only thing she's ever told me is he was very handsome and very charming, and he could tell a good story, P.T., just like you. So, Dad, if you're listening to this, drop by sometime. Apparently, we have a lot in common. Anyhow, back to our big VIP guests. It was Thursday, after school. We were all waiting for the royal family to arrive. Well, not the royal family, but a family full of royalty from England. They'd be staying in our one vacant room. Actually, it was a suite of rooms. 225, 226, and 227, also known as the Cassie McGinty Suite. We call it that because that's where the movie star and her mom, a famous producer, stayed when they were filming Beach Party Surf Monkey. We even decorated the rooms with movie posters, stills from the shoot, and a few props, like Surf Monkey's boogie board and Cassie McGinty's framed hippie girl costume. Naturally, everybody wanted to sleep in that three-bedroom suite. But that weekend, it was reserved for Lord and Lady Pettibone and their teenage daughter, Lady Lily. Lord Pettibone was a marquis, which is higher than an earl, but lower than a duke, unless your duke is a dog. The Pettibone family would be traveling to Florida with their trusted manservant, Digby, so he needed a room too. All in all, the royals were getting three of our best bedrooms because they were bringing us a ton more free publicity. The Tampa Bay Times had already done a big write-up about their visit. Sales of Royal Crown Cola were soaring all along St. Pete Beach. Even the St. Pete Beach Dairy Queen and Burger King were getting in on the act with our royal cousins' meal deals. The royals coming to the Wonderland were traveling with the first Duchess of Twiddleham's crown, which they called the Twiddleham Tiara. Loaded with precious jewels, it was priceless and super special. In fact, according to legend, the diamonds in the Twiddleham tiara had once belonged to Queen Guinevere, King Arthur's wife in all those classic legends about the Knights of the Round Table. Some say Arthur got the idea for the shape of his table from Guinevere's crown, which was also round. The Twiddleham tiara was worth so much money, we probably should have booked it a room of its own. Chapter 3. Royal Treatment.
"We have a safe in the office,"
Mom said to Digby, the royal family's butler, who came into the lobby ahead of the others to make sure everything was tickety-boo, which, I found out later, is British for hunky-dory or okey-dokey.
"I'm certain you do," said Digby, looking down his nose at Mom and sniffing like he smelled cat poop.
The butler had a leather-covered lockbox handcuffed to his wrist. The box was about the size of, a tiara. I wished I had X-ray vision. Then I could have seen all the Twiddleham diamonds.
"However," Digby continued, "Lord and Lady Pettibone prefer to rely on our own tried, tested, and true security measures."
He tapped the box.
"It is constructed of 2-inch thick, reinforced steel, and has a GPS tracking device embedded in its base."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?